What is your experience with the software in cars?
So I am a software developer. I've been doing this work for more than 20 years, and I help to develop a lot of the software that winds up going into cars across the automotive industry.
And what is making you come out today and talk about the 2020 model cars?
Well, my colleagues and I are very concerned because we've seen a growing trend of connecting cars up to the internet. And as everybody knows, you put a computer on the internet, it can be hacked, and cars today are very computerized. What that means is that there's a potential for anybody in the world with an internet connection to be able to hack into not just your car, but potentially thousands of them, and hack them simultaneously.
What would happen if car makers knew your identity and knew what you were going to tell us today?
Well, the car industry obviously wants to keep this quiet. They've got a huge financial motivation to put internet connections in cars. If news of this got to the auto industry and then got back to my employer, my employer would probably lose a lot of business, and I would certainly lose my job.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what kind of risks consumers take when they drive cars that are internet connected?
Well, so cars are highly computerized, and any computer that's connected to the internet, people could get into it from all over the world. Furthermore, they're putting so much technology into cars nowadays. You can control all sorts of aspects of your car from your smartphone, including starting the engine, starting the air conditioning, checking on its location. Well, if you can do it with your smartphone, anybody else can, over the internet.
What is the level of security built into these cars? I mean, surely it rivals, you know, other industries with safety critical problems.
Well, actually does not at all rival other industries. I mean, a lot of the technology that is being adopted into cars, they're being treated like any other mobile device, like a cell phone or a tablet. And in fact, popular operating systems that are being used in cars nowadays are developed by BlackBerry or Android, for example, which is, you know, the most popular smartphone operating system on the planet, is now extending its reach into cars.
What's the problem with technology from your smartphone being deployed as technology in your car to connect to the internet?
The problem is that the purpose of cell phone technology is to be flexible, to be adaptable, to have new features all the time. It was never designed to keep people safe, and it can't do that.
So what is the problem with smartphone technology being used, you know, in a car as security?
Well, smartphone technology was never designed to be secure. It's good enough for things like, you know, maybe protecting your email, you know, something that isn't of great value. And we've already seen that smartphone technology and comparable technologies are not sufficient for even protecting credit card numbers or social security numbers. But the difference between hacking into somebody's smartphone and stealing their credit card number and hacking into somebody's car is that cars kill people. A car is, you know, 2.5 tons of metal hurtling down the road at 65 miles per hour with your kid strapped into the back seat. You know, that's not something that you want anybody other than the driver of the vehicle to have control over.
So describe what a hack might look like in 2020 model cars.
Well, so most of the major automakers have committed to having their entire fleets, every new car that they sell in model year 2020, be connected with the internet. And, you know, there are many reasons why they do this. But what that means is that, you know, take General Motors, for example. They sold 3 million cars last year in the United States. And if every one of those cars is connected to the internet and every one of those cars is running the same software. You find a vulnerability in one of those cars, you've found a vulnerability in the entire fleet. Somebody could potentially hack all 3 million of those cars. And then you've got a major disaster on your hands because not every one of those cars is going to be on the road all the time, but there are enough there you can cause a lot of fatalities.
So describe what a fleet-wide hack is and what type of damage it might cause.
So a fleet-wide hack is just what it sounds like. It's where all of the cars that carry a certain vulnerability are attacked simultaneously, and there's a possibility here. You know, if a coordinated fleet-wide attack occurred, you might time it for rush hour, maybe 4 p.m. on the West Coast and 7 p.m. on the East Coast. You're kind of catching everybody when they're on the road, and suddenly you're driving your car and the brakes no longer work, and the airbag blows up in your face for no reason. And what's going to happen? These cars are going to start smashing into each other. We're going to have collisions all over the place. And even if not all of them are fatal, we've got projections that show that the kind of fatalities from this kind of attack could rival 9/11. And I would guess that the everything that we saw in the wake of 9/11 would happen in the wake of this kind of attack, only more so. We would see, wars started. We would see loss of civil liberties. We would see major intrusions into our electronic lives and our privacy.
Tell me what you and your colleagues are most fearful of in terms of a fleet-wide hack. Why now? Why not just because of the connections of the car, but why now? What type of safety critical systems could be accessed remotely?
Right. So what kind of safety critical systems could be accessed remotely in the car? Well, everything's electronic nowadays. It is not hard at all to control the airbags, either disable them or cause them to blow. It's not hard at all to control the brakes, disable them completely. Even if there's a mechanical connection, the brakes can be disabled or manipulated electronically. The steering, the acceleration, everything that controls the movement of the vehicle could be subverted and controlled by somebody from halfway around the world just by writing a little bit of malware. The reason we're concerned about this right now is that at present, there are about 50 million connected vehicles on the roads today in the U.S., but that number is growing very, very rapidly, particularly starting this year when it will become nearly impossible to purchase a new car that does not have an internet connection. The number of connected cars on the road is going to grow at a tremendous rate, and these cars are simply not safe. They're not protected from hackers. They're not using any of the kind of technology that would be necessary to do that. What I would advocate is that the safety critical systems within the car need to be completely separated. The term is air-gapped from the parts that are connected to the internet. You can have most of the features that you want, but it just needs to be done in a safe way, and the auto industry is not doing that.
Now explain what your colleagues and you fear in terms of a malicious hack. We have evidence from one automaker in their own company filings with investors that they have been the subject of a malicious attack that was and their suppliers have been subject or targeted. What is your concern about a malicious hack given conditions in the world right now and given the state of technology?
Well, hacks occur on the internet every day. Most of them are focusing on things that don't kill people. But now we've got, the President of the United States saber-rattling, talking about a cyber war with Iran. There are certainly other potentially hostile nations, Russia, China, North Korea, that all easily have the capability to take advantage of this. If one of those nations really wanted to cause us some trouble and potentially even do it anonymously because it would be hard to track back to the perpetrators, this is a relatively inexpensive way to do it. If you look back at 9/11, this was perpetrated by Osama bin Laden. It probably cost him, in excess of $1 million to do. Now with this kind of technology, with fleets full of connected cars on the road, the same kind of damage can be done, but it can be done without terrorists or invaders having put their feet on U.S. soil, and it can be done from anywhere in the world and for a fraction of the price.
What do you think the price of a malicious hack is? Hackers seem to be what we call white hat hackers, doing it and sharing it with the information with the company and getting sometimes tens of thousands of dollars for their research. What would it cost to do a malicious hack of a fleet? What's the guesstimate from your colleagues and yourself?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, you can use the bug bounties that car companies pay out to white hat hackers as sort of an estimate of the market cost of one of these hacks. Tesla right now, I think, is paying the highest bug bounty in the industry of $15,000 for a critical vulnerability in a car. Even if it takes several of these strung together to take control of a car, and even if you charge some sort of a premium if you're selling this vulnerability to a hacking organization, I mean, it could still be done for easily under $500,000, and this is chump change if you're talking about Vladimir Putin, if you're talking about Kim Jong-un, if you're talking about any foreign power or even most terrorist groups.
How many cars actually have internet connections now?
So there are about 50 million cars on the road today in the United States with internet connections, but that number is growing rapidly. If car companies are going to start selling only connected cars, which most of the major automakers have announced is their plan, we're putting 16, 17 million new cars on the road in this country every year. And so you can imagine how quickly that 50 million car number is going to rise.
Have there been cases of hackers taking control of connected cars? And describe some of the ones that have been more troubling to you.
Yes, there absolutely have been cases. Thankfully, to date, all of the cases that are documented have been benign. They've been cases of researchers trying to demonstrate the problem and get people's attention to solve the problem, but we have not solved the problem. Probably the most famous one was in 2015. Two researchers, Charlie Miller and Chris Valasek, hacked a Jeep Cherokee with a news reporter at the wheel. And they were able to do a bunch of kind of, more silly stuff like make the windshield wipers go and make the radio blare. But they were also able to kill the engine. They were able to disable the brakes on this car. And this was not a self-driving car. This was an ordinary off-the-shelf Jeep Cherokee. And they did this without any physical contact with the vehicle. It was completely over the internet. That kind of thing is scary. And at that point, the auto industry should have said, hey, we can't allow this to happen. We're doing this wrong. But that's not what they did. They used a little bit of chewing gum and duct tape. They slapped a Band-Aid on the problem. And they said, okay, yeah, we solved that problem. Now we're moving on.
But did they solve that problem? I know there were some more hacks by the same people, but there's never been a fleet-wide hack, and there have been limited number of hacks that we know about. What did the industry do, and why didn't they solve the problem yet? Why have the hacks continued if the companies have taken some action? Can you tell us what the actions they've taken and why it's not enough?
Yes, absolutely. So if you look at the case of the 2015 Jeep hack with Charlie Miller and Chris Valasek, they hacked in through the radio, which was internet connected, and from there were able to get a connection onto the car's CAN bus, which is kind of like the central nervous system of the car that controls everything else. And from there, they were able to do all these other things, deactivate the brakes, kill the engine, that sort of thing. what Fiat Chrysler Motors, Jeep's parent company, did in response to that is they plugged the hole in the radio that the hackers used to get in. What they did not do was disconnect the radio from the rest of the car, which is a very simple thing to do. This does not require any kind of sophisticated technology, and that would have prevented not just that problem from happening again, but any similar kind of problem from happening again. But they don't want to do that. And the reason they don't want to do that is, first of all, it requires a minor redesign of the car, and that's expensive, and potentially admitting that they have to recall large numbers of cars because they're unsafe.
What is the solution that you and your colleagues would like to see, long-term and short-term?
So the short-term solution that we'd like to see is to install a kill switch in the car. Now, this is something very simple. This is 19th century technology, just a little mechanical switch. It doesn't cost very much, maybe about 50 cents per car. And what this does is disconnect the internet-connected parts of the car from the safety-critical parts of the car, the parts of the car that control the motion of the vehicle. If you do that, this is not going to stop anybody from hacking your car, but what this will do is, in the wake of some sort of a major incident, some sort of a fleet-wide hack, it will give us a way to restore our confidence in our cars and know that they cannot be hacked again. You just flip the switch into the safe position and everything's fine. Longer term, the auto industry needs to get their act together and realize that after 10 years of trying, they have been unable, through numerous band-aids and patches, if you look at the history of it, cars are being hacked just as frequently today as they were 5-10 years ago. In fact, probably even more frequently. And not only that, with the growing number of connected cars on the road, this is becoming an ever larger target for terrorist groups, for foreign actors who want to cause us trouble.
What about the statements made by car companies publicly to consumers? They certainly aren't warning consumers about the dangers, but they do appear to be warning their own investors and shareholders, don't they?
Yes, the car companies are definitely mentioning this in their disclosures to the Securities and Exchange Commission and to shareholders. But the message that they're giving to the public, to ordinary consumers, is very different. Whenever there's been a hack like this, the message is invariably, we found a problem, and congratulations to the researchers for finding that problem. They did a great service to humanity by letting us know about it, and now the problem's fixed. Everybody can go back to driving their cars and everything's safe. But it's not safe. Look at the history. Look at how long this has been going on. The auto industry has been working hard to try to make cars safe for a long time, and it just hasn't been effective. We are no safer now than we were before. You should also, in my professional opinion, you should be skeptical of anybody who says that they are working hard on security. Because anybody who says that they are working hard on security knows that the product that they're selling is not secure, is not safe.
What would you like to see happen from this report? We know from the car makers, but from Congress, regulators, public officials?
Well, regulators, Congress, public officials, everybody needs to be aware that this is a problem, needs to understand the extent of the risk, which is, you know, tremendous. This is both a risk to individual consumers and a national security risk. And we need to take immediate action about this. It would be great if the car companies would voluntarily act, add protection to their consumers. But they've got strong financial motivations not to do that, so it may take some sort of national governmental action, regulatory action, to secure our fleet of cars. This is our most critical form of transportation. You know, pretty much everybody in this country has a car in their driveway. This is not something that we want to leave as a wide open door for hackers from around the world to get into.
What does it mean that the internet is connected to safety critical systems in a car if a malicious hacker gets access to those safety critical systems?
Well, the safety critical systems in a car are, you know, they're all electronic, and you connect them up to the internet, the hacker can control the brakes, can, you know, cause them to activate, cause them not to work at all. The hacker can control the steering, the hacker can control the acceleration, the hacker can blow the airbags in your face. You know, if the flaw that the hacker exploited in your car is the same flaw that's in 3 million other cars, you know, now you've got a fleet-wide hack. Now you've got this happening simultaneously to cars across the country. You've got major gridlock. You've got an excuse for us to go to war, clamp down on civil liberties, all sorts of awful consequences. Everything we saw after 9/11, only worse.
So what is the danger with open source software being used in cars, and what does it make you worry about?
Well, so the problem with open source software is that it has, you know, oftentimes literally thousands of different authors from all over the world, and there's no accountability for the quality of it. You can't go back to the original author necessarily and say, you know, hey, does this thing actually work the way it's supposed to, or can you help us fix this bug? It's great for doing, you know, rapid development of things. It's great for making a very flexible platform, but it's not something that you want to put your life on the line for.
Tell us your background and why you're sitting behind a silhouette now. We can't see your face.
I've been working in the software industry for more than 20 years. My specialty is software systems that wind up in cars.
And if the car makers knew you would be talking publicly about the problems with internet connections to the car, what would happen?
Well, I guarantee you I would lose my job, and it's possible that many of my colleagues would as well, because my company would lose a lot of business.
So let me ask you a question. The insurance commissioner in California has recently said that he wants to embrace telematics and allow the insurance industry to track acceleration, braking, location and speed travel by people in their vehicles as a way of pricing insurance. We've resisted it as consumer advocates, and previous insurance commissioners resisted it based on privacy. But is there a safety danger as well from telematics?
Absolutely. I can't believe that they would want to do that. I mean, that involves taking electronics and plugging it into your car and giving that electronics access to the most critical systems on your car, and also have it be on some sort of a network where, you know, if they can get the data out, hackers can potentially get in.
So explain that. How would a when a safety critical system is connected to the internet, how would that be a danger to hackers? How would a hack potentially occur?
Well, the first thing to think about is that anything you can do with that connection, the hackers can do, but the hackers can do a lot more than that, because in order to get that information about the car's acceleration and braking, the other things that are interesting to the insurance industry, you have to tap into the CAN bus, which is the central nervous system of the car. It connects up everything in the car. So you could potentially use that same connection to, let's say, disable the brakes in, you know, maybe thousands of cars at the same time.
And have there been demonstrations of hacks where the CAN bus has been attacked and cars have been taken over in recent memory?
There have. There have been a number of demonstrations, generally done by researchers under laboratory conditions. Thankfully, all of them benign so far. But it definitely demonstrates not just that there's a vulnerability, but that every attempt to patch that vulnerability has failed, and that cars are still at risk to this kind of hacking.
And if the telematics scheme is put into law, that means people would have to use it to verify how far they drive and how well they drive, rather than simply using your driving safety record, your moving violations, or letting someone look at your odometer or self-recording the odometer. would that mean that the insurance companies would physically be connecting some kind of communication device to safety critical systems?
Most likely. If this is something that is added to cars aftermarket, then most likely it would connect up through the diagnostic port on the car, which is a direct linkage into this central nervous system in the car. And there's nothing stopping that connection from doing all sorts of things that shouldn't be possible, such as, like I said, messing with the brakes, messing with the acceleration, messing with the steering, not just reading data out of them. In fact, there have been documented cases in the past of similar telematic systems being hacked and being shown to be terrible security risks. The thought of mandating this by law in cars is, it's horrific. We're essentially mandating that these cars be made insecure and be available to every hacker on the planet.
Anything else you want to add about the insurance companies having access to those type of critical systems and data from them?
Well, I'm always nervous about, let's put it this way. Even if I felt comfortable with them taking data about acceleration and braking and other things, what other kinds of data might they harvest through the same connection? What might they do with it? We don't know. It's a can of worms. And once you open up that data connection, there's any number of things that they could track. They could track, you know, what neighborhoods you visit. They could track whether you're listening to the radio and what station while you're driving. And, you know, maybe adjust your insurance rates by, depending on whether you prefer classical music or rap. There's the possibilities are endless.